Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week, we'll be talking about one woman's journey through having stem cell therapy to treat retinal disease.
Pam Retzlaff was legally blind since birth due to a congenital retinal disease. Starting in her 20s, her vision progressively worsened until she was left with a very small and dim visual field. We'll speak with Pam about a stem cell treatment she had in late 2014, including what the process and recovery have been like and how her vision is evolving. But first, for our tip of the week. This actually applies to every episode of Eyes on Success. Eyes on Success is intended to share information, and in particular, this week's episode will be Pam's story about her experiences with a particular treatment. We do not actually endorse or not endorse any particular treatment or product or opinion that may be heard on this show.
But in the spirit of sharing, we'll hear Pam's story and how this is working out for her.
Let's start by meeting Pam Retzlaff and learning about her journey through visual loss before embarking on reversing the process.
Well, hello. My name is Pam Retzlaff, and I have LCA, which is a form of retinitis pigmentosa that is differentiated by early childhood onset. My visual impairment was evident when I was born and especially evident when I began to walk.
When did you lose your vision?
I experienced my vision as fairly stable till I was about 27. I could see the big E on the eye chart with correction. I could see colors. At about 27, I started noticing some changes in my vision, and that began the long and winding journey of losing most of my sight. I had a teeny tiny visual field, so it was very high up across the bridge of my nose, and I had light perception in that field. Around that, there was a little ring of gray that I couldn't see anything, but it was just gray. And then everything outside of that was black. My vision was completely gone.
So you couldn't read or drive or do many of those things that you used to be able to do when you were younger, I take it.
Right. So I never was able to drive. And certainly from age 27 until this treatment, I went through a bunch of difficult things like giving up the use of a CCTV because I could not see the screen anymore, making the decision to change from enlargement to speech on a computer because I was aware my vision was getting tenuous and I wanted to make sure that I could still work and such. So I went through a variety of those difficult moments.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is Pam's personal experience with stem cell therapy for treating her retinal disease.
How did this process get started for you in terms of identifying what might be helpful to you, what might improve your vision, etc.?
I first ran across research about using stem cells to treat eye conditions on the Foundation Fighting Blindness website. And after that, I went crazy with Google. Through some twists and turns, I stumbled on information about autologous stem cells. So that's a big word. Autologous means stem cells that are taken from your own body to treat you. And originally, I learned about clinics around the world that were doing this. And eventually, I discovered that there were actually quite a number of stem cell clinics treating people in the United States.
So in the United States, the FDA, or the Food and Drug Administration, is the agency responsible for recommending and approving new drugs and therapies. What do they say about stem cell therapies?
The FDA does permit people in the United States to be treated with their own stem cells. And there are a number of clinics that are doing this. It is very safe and it is permitted by the FDA. However, the FDA has not approved stem cell treatment for a specific medical condition. That's because there's not an organization that has completed and paid the millions and millions of dollars to do the phase one, phase two, and phase three clinical trial process.
While there is still some controversy about using embryonic stem cells, there are also medical reasons why it's preferred to use your own stem cells in the autologous stem cell treatments. What's different about using autologous stem cells versus embryonic stem cells?
Autologous stem cells come from your own body, and so they are you. So your body doesn't react to them. They don't have wacky side effects because your body just sees itself. So these autologous stem cells taken from your own body are known to be very safe. And so these treatments are openly permitted in the United States. However, because they're not approved for a specific medical condition, what that means is a couple of things. One is insurance does not yet cover these treatments. So you have to find other ways to fund them. They are not covered by insurance. The other thing that that means is that the clinics that treat people with autologous stem cells are not permitted to make any medical claims about the treatments they are doing. And they are not permitted to publish any testimonials from people whom they treat. So honestly, that is one of the reasons, there are many, that I made the decision to come forward with my story, because as an individual, I am free to communicate about my experience and my knowledge about stem cells. So I'm here because I want blind people to know a lot more, and so I'm here to communicate this to others in my situation.
And Eyes on Success is all about communication and providing people with sufficient information to explore what options are open to them.
What are the risks of using embryonic versus autologous stem cells?
If a person receives embryonic stem cells, those are really cells from another individual. They're not from you. So your body sees them as foreign. And there are some significant risks with those. There are risks of rejection, just like there are risks of rejection with an organ transplant. There are risks of inflammation and risks of the stem cells becoming cancer. So those are all significant risks with cells from another individual. And those risks are zero with autologous stem cells taken from you.
Okay, so we got the picture that the autologous stem cells come from your own body. Can you be more specific about where they actually get them?
They're mostly harvested from two places. And outside of these two places, we'll get outside of things that I know. But they're mostly harvested from either a person's bone marrow or adipose tissue, which is a really nice way to say fat.
How did you pick a location to do it? You said there are a number of centers that do these treatments.
Truly, I just started calling a bunch of different clinics and I asked them all the same question, which was, do you treat people with RP?
And which clinic was that that you chose?
The clinic that I work with is called the Stem Cell Rejuvenation Center. They are in Phoenix, Arizona.
Can you describe, once you decided that you wanted to have this procedure done and you selected a location, which I gather is nowhere near your home, what was the process like for you? What did you actually have to do? And what did they do to you?
Okay, so we had to fly to Phoenix. We live in the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina.
And just for our international listeners, that's way across the country, almost completely across the U.S.
Yeah, it's about 1,800 miles, give or take. So we used our happy little airline points, and I have a large family. So my large family suggested that we do this around Thanksgiving time, so as many of them as possible could be there. And I was treated the day before Thanksgiving, which we thought was wonderful. We would treat me and then we'd give thanks. So the stem cell clinics that treat you in the United States, they are required to do it all in a day in terms of extracting material from your body and then getting the stem cells from that material and then readministering them to you. They're required to do that all in a single day. With the Stem Cell Rejuvenation Center, we had appointments on 2 days. So we first came in on Tuesday and had a consultation with the doctor who would treat me. So we met for, 2 hours, maybe three, and she explained some things about how the treatment would be done, and we had a chance to ask a lot of questions. So it was just a consultation appointment, and it was really neat. The Stem Cell Rejuvenation Center is very flexible with how people think and how they view healing in their lives. And so actually, they were so awesome. Late in the day, after all the patients had left the clinic, they actually allowed as many of our family members as could make it to gather at the clinic. So they brought us into the room where I would be treated. And they said, here you are, you'll be the next person in this room. And our family are people of prayer. And so they closed the door and let us be alone there for about, 45 minutes. And so we prayed together and talked with each other. And then we left the room. And on the way out, I looked at the people at the Rejuvenation Center and I said, okay, the room is prepped. And they laughed.
Well, the day before any kind of significant medical procedure, especially one that might restore your eyesight, had to have been filled with many mixed emotions, everywhere from hope to fear. So it's really nice that the clinic lets the patients have some time with other people who are important to them to explore those feelings in a comfortable setting before the procedure.
Yes.
So after the initial consultation on day one, I take it the procedure was done on day two.
Yes. Yes. So we came in the morning. So we got to get fat, right? And so so in the morning, they did liposuction. That is a painful process. The whole process took about 2.5 hours. So first, they shot in lidocaine.
That's a local anesthetic.
Yes. Yes. The way they say it is they take the adipose tissue from your love handles. So that's where they go. And that's the place where they get the best harvest of the right kind of stem cells. So they do one tiny incision on each side of you, and then they slowly work in a little tube. So they work these tubes into you on each side. They pump you full of liquid. You have a very swelled up bottom, and they cover you with sheets, and they let you lay there for 45 minutes, an hour while this stuff is doing its thing. Then they come back and they slowly extract material from you. And the material that they get is about the consistency of whipped cream. That's what they told me. Then after that, they bandage you up. And then it's around noon and they tell you to go get yourself a really good lunch. And you're fine. You can move. You can walk. You're absolutely fine. And so while we were at lunch, the lab was working on my stem cells.
And presumably after lunch, they put your cells back in. How did that part go?
So when we got back and they got me back laying down and comfortable, they started an IV. And first in the IV, they sent in a solution full of vitamins and nutrients. So all kinds of things for the stem cells to be fat and happy and find everything that they wanted to live and thrive. The next thing they did is to give me something that is designed to allow the stem cells to get through the blood-brain barrier. And the reason to do that is because technically your retinas are brain tissue. That's what they are. For anything to make it to your retinas, it has to be able to cross the blood-brain barrier. So they gave me some stuff to help make that possible. I think it was mannitol, if I remember correctly. Then they put in the IV stem cells. So that went on for a while. And then after they got all the stem cells in the IV, then they put in more vitamins.
So I naively assumed that they would have injected these stem cells directly into your eye to get the maximum number of stem cells close to your retina, but you're saying that's not the case. They do this intravenously.
That's where we start. So we'll get there. And actually, they said that probably 5 to 10% of the intravenous stem cells would actually find my retinas. The next thing they did, this one's going to sound really wild, I snorted stem cells up my nose. So
it's something I wouldn't have expected.
That's right. This is a weird one. The reason is we want stem cells to differentiate and become neurons, because rods and cones in your retinas are neurons. Your retinas are neural tissue. And I read in from the National Institutes of Health that if stem cells make it to your brain, it encourages them to differentiate into neurons. So if you go up your nose, there's some tissue up there and some bone up there that has holes in it. And on the other side of that tissue, where the holes are, is your brain. And so they first had me snort something. I don't know what it was, but it was designed to help open those passages between my nose and my brain so that the stem cells would make it through. And then they would put tubes, one in each nostril, and shoot up each nostril, and I would snort as well as I could, snort up these stem cells. So then, and then we'd wait about 5 minutes for everything to settle down, and then we'd do it again. So we repeated that 4 times. So that's weird, but it has great science behind it.
What else did they do?
Then they did injections around my body. So some of them were places they know that encourage getting stem cells to my retinas. Some of them were like, we injected my knees because I'm 52 and they're getting a little grumpy as I get older. So we injected stem cells there. We injected one of my heels because it's got a few issues. So various things all around my body.
So as long as you were there, they decided to take advantage of the opportunity and use the additional stem cells or any excess to treat other parts just in case.
Yes, yes. And this clinic will do that for any individual. It's really neat. They will try to take into account whatever issues you have going on that stem cells are known to be helpful for.
And did they ever get any stem cells directly into your eyes?
So the last treatment that they did, and this was at the end of the day, it sounds way worse than it is. It's called a retrobulbar injection. There's soft skin below your eyes and above your cheekbones. What they did is they numbed that skin so that I wouldn't react. And then one person held my head completely still so I wouldn't flinch or anything like that. And they did one injection that went in through that skin. My husband watched it. It went about an inch deep, he thought. And going in that way, your eyeball is not punctured in any way, but the needle winds up in your eye socket behind your eyeball. And each eye, they injected stem cells back there behind my eyeball. So if you think about the back of your eyeball, back there are your optic nerve and your optic artery. And stem cells can migrate through nerve tissue and they can migrate through blood. So that's part of why they injected there. The other part is if you were to go through to the back side of your eyeball, that's where your retina is. It's also right there. And so they're in a very uninvasive way. They're getting stem cells as near as possible to where you want those stem cells to land. So they did that in each eye. It was not painful or difficult.
So you just walked out of the center that evening then. How long was it before you began to notice any effects or any changes in your vision?
That's a great question. So yes, I walked out of the center with my head, you know, they said, hold your head back, hold your head back. And we hugged each other. And we went out to the car. I got in the car seat and reclined it as far as I could. And so for the next 24 hours, I was supposed to stay reclined as much as I possibly could.
Did you have bandages on your eyes or anything?
I did not. It was about a 45-minute drive back to my brother's. And when we arrived there, my eyes looked extremely swollen. So one looked nearly swollen shut, the other not quite as bad. And I kept my head back, really, except for Thanksgiving dinner. I laid back in recliners and in bed the next 24 hours. By the end of the day, the next day, the swelling was gone. You wouldn't know it was gone. So you're laying back to keep those stem cells right in that back place just as long as you possibly can.
What has the longer term recovery been like?
This is a gradual journey. It has a lot of three steps forward and two back. And at the beginning, that was very disconcerting. I would get very alarmed. I would be afraid I killed the stem cells, and I would call the clinic, and they told me, hey, this is normal. Every recovery of any kind is like this. It has up and down to it, so stay calm. So there are times I'll have a visual gain, and then it will go into hiding for a few days. And now that I'm about 6 months in, I've gotten used to that.
And what is your vision like now then, after 6 months?
My visual field has increased and unfolded, and that's really cool. So at first I started watching my visual field kind of roll down like a movie screen. So you know, it was high at the bridge of my nose, and I kept watching it roll down, roll down, roll down. That happened over a couple of months. And then I started noticing things pop into view from the sides where my vision had been absolutely black. I would guess my visual field is something like 10 times what it was to begin with. And that's a very good sign in terms of how I am progressing, just the change in my visual field.
And what kind of functional changes have you noticed?
Another thing that changed actually started about 3 weeks following treatment. It was Christmas time, and we went to a live nativity with a bunch of scenes. And I could suddenly see the outlines of people that I was talking to that were about 4 feet away from me. I could see the line of their head and shoulders. And over time, that has just grown and increased. So now I can be in a circle of people that is maybe 12, 15 feet, and I can see where each individual person is.
So functionally, you can find people in a room these days, whereas you couldn't do that before the procedure.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's exciting.
So I assume this has also improved your ability to navigate, because now you can see where buildings and cars and sidewalks are?
It has improved my ability to navigate. So I notice it more inside buildings currently, that I move around more easily. I bump into less things. So things are still really blurry, but they're there. I can see that they're there. So that is improving. People who know me can see that my eyes have become more steady and more focused. Another thing I notice is that I'm seeing in ever lower and lower levels of light. So today I'm noticing that in many situations with the lights off, where I would need light full blast as much as I could possibly get to see anything at all, I'm seeing things like plates and napkins and silverware and just the variety of clothes hanging in my closet and things like that. So they're becoming viewable. When I work on things, I'm able to see my hands working. And I had stopped even watching my hands when I did stuff because it had become pointless. So there's just a number of changes.
This must be so exciting for you. What are they telling you to expect in the future?
Typically, you'll get most of what you're going to get from stem cells in about a year. It can continue after that. So I'm only about halfway through, and that's hard. It is hard to sit back and let this unfold. This is not an instant treatment. And at the same time, I've got a lot of good indications that the course of my treatment is moving in great directions. Lots of things have changed already, and a lot of good indications of good things to come.
Now for this week's final item, resources for learning more about research on stem cell treatments for retinal diseases and how to reach Pam and learn more about her experiences.
I understand you have a blog that you keep. Can you tell us about that?
So the address of the blog says what we believe about this whole thing. The address of the blog is jesusmademystemcells.weebly.com.
And what is in your blog?
You will find facts about stem cells. You will find a description of this journey with stem cells, which is a very wild ride. So there will be description of what it's like. You know, I've talked very openly about my feelings, my reactions, how I see this from a heart point of view. So there's many things there. And if a person does decide to pursue this treatment, I would recommend reading it because it would help to have a feel.
Earlier, you indicated that you would give the contact information for the clinic where you were treated. Can you do that now, please?
It is the Stem Cell Rejuvenation Center. Their phone is 602-439-0000. And their website has a fair amount of information about stem cells. Their website is the-stem-cell-center.com.
Are you happy you did it?
I am 100% happy that I did it. So before this treatment, my retinas were dying, and there is life in my eyes. There are times that I can sense it, I can feel it.
Well, that's a great story. So again, we want to emphasize that many stem cell therapies are still in the experimental stages and have not been approved by the FDA for specific conditions, although Pam's story certainly gives us hope that someday these therapies will become more mainstream and available more widely. So to find out more information, go to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. Look for our show notes and you'll find all the contact information that Pam talked about.
That's it for show number 1536. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about a 3D printer project at Benetech. These are the same people who brought you Bookshare. And in their 3D printer project, they're exploring ways to use 3D printers to help people to absorb information that might be in some graphic format that hasn't been converted into readable text. And we will speak with two representatives from Benetech who are heavily involved in this work. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.